1 Kings chapter 10. This is the chapter which describes to us the visit of the Queen of Sheba. Queen of Sheba, she comes somewhere from Arabia to hear the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. It says in verse 1, "Now the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord." And that's a good testimony that she comes having heard the fame of Solomon, but that fame is related to the name of the Lord. Now, if you were to think about it, the fame of Solomon is not a man's fame because it does not emanate from him. It does not just gush out of him, but it is given to him from God himself. So this is a good testimony to us. As we look at verse 1, we realize, of course, through the inspired scripture that we have before us, that the fame that Solomon had was not in and of itself. It was because of his connection to the Lord. It is the Lord who gave him that wisdom. And even that fame, which came because of the wisdom that Solomon had, that was because of the Lord. So the Queen of Sheba, she comes to test him with difficult questions. I ask in question number 1, what do you think? Because it's not written here what the nature of the questions were, but what do you think, what kind of difficult questions do you think that the Queen of Sheba used in order to test Solomon's wisdom? Knowing the wisdom of Solomon, she could have literally asked him so many questions about life, about reality, about creation maybe, and who knows, maybe she even had questions about the God of Israel. If you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, you know what kind of questions Solomon dealt with. Proverbs, of course, you could also glean information from there. Questions related to life in general, of course, questions related to God, questions related to righteousness, questions related to family, to what kind of a man or woman we should be, questions about the meaning of life or the meaninglessness of life as he kind of deals with it in the book of Ecclesiastes, and so much more. But what the Bible says is that she came to test him with difficult questions. So that tells us that she did not come all the way to Jerusalem, having covered many miles, just so that she will ask Solomon simplistic, basic questions of life. Probably she had her in her entourage, in her royal court, she had many wise men who fed her with information about life. But she needed more. She came with specific questions which others did not have answers to. And if we were to think practically, if we were to think about ourselves and about our faith, and people come to test us with difficult questions about even our faith in Christ, what should we respond? How should our responses be? Just think about it. Are you ready to answer those who ask for the hope that we have in us, like the Apostle Peter says? We got to be ready to answer according to the hope that is in us. And in order to do that, we have to be in the Word. We have to be able to dig into the Word, spend time in the Word, to have the key answers to the difficult questions of life, which we believe the Bible answers. The Bible has all the answers pertaining to life and godliness, says in 2 Peter chapter 1. And God, of course, in His holy word, has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And the entirety of the book, the Word of God, has what we need. Surely, the Word of God will not necessarily speak about what's the next iPhone or Samsung phone that's coming up, because that's not related to life and godliness. But whatever we need regarding life and godliness, principles, truths which are eternal, we have it in the Word of God. So she comes, Queen of Sheba comes with difficult questions, and she came to test him. By that, it does not mean she came with a wicked intention. No, this was a legit test, testing Solomon with questions about life, about maybe the God of Israel, about anything for which she did not have answers prior to this day. And she wanted to check if Solomon would be able to answer according to the fame of Solomon, because she had heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. It's another way of saying, again we say this, it's another way of saying that the fame of Solomon, because of his wisdom, was born out of his relationship with the Lord. Because of the Lord, Solomon had answers. And it's the same with us. It is not us who have answers. It is because of our relationship with the Lord that we have answers. And people are desperate, even today, for answers about life and about what's after this, what's the meaning of life. Just think about it. Why are we here on this planet? Why do we exist? What's the purpose of it all? She came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Could you imagine that? She came to have a private seminar or even conference sessions with the king of Israel. She came all the way, and I'm sure Solomon appreciated that, because here's a woman, here's a queen. She's not just anybody. She's also a queen. She comes all the way in order to ascertain and find out answers about reality, about life, about everything that she bombarded with Solomon, everything she bombarded before the king of Israel, everything she placed before him, she had received the answers because of what King Solomon had. And what he had was in line with his relationship to his God. She spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Could you imagine you being in her place? You come to Solomon having heard the wisdom of Solomon, and you ask him any kind of question that you have really thought. And even now, if you were to think about it, what kind of a question you would have asked? But then we have someone greater than Solomon here. Someone who's given us his word. Someone who's given us everything in answers that we need for life and godliness through the scriptures. And we come to him. We come prayerfully seeking answers from his word as we dig into the text of scripture always, regularly, faithfully. Because that's the life source of our growth. We cannot grow in the Lord without the scriptures. There's no other way. That is the primary way to grow in the Lord. So she comes to the king of Israel. She bombards him with everything that was in her heart. She did not hold back. She spoke with him, verse 2, about all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. Now, obviously, the two things confirmed to the queen of Sheba in view of Solomon's ability in answering all her questions was the fame of Solomon, because he was a wise counselor, and then you had the fame of the Lord. Basically, the name of the Lord represents the fame of the Lord, because all her questions had been answered. So she came with the anticipation, I want to know, I want to confirm myself. That's the question basically I ask in question two. I want to confirm, she thought, is Solomon who he claims to be, according to what I've heard about him? And second, as she knew, because in verse 1, again, we say, when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she knew that Solomon's knowledge and wisdom and counsel was born out of his relationship to the Lord. That's very important. And that's the same impression we should leave upon people. When people come and ask us for counsel, counsel about maybe life in general, because they know we're Christians, we should know some things about life, right? Or about how to conduct family life. They ask us. They should always come to us knowing that the answers we will give are born out of our relationship with Christ. That's very important. It's a testimony in itself. It's an evangelistic testimony in itself in some way, because they know it is because of my relationship with Christ is that I'm able to present answers, solid answers which will help, which will guide, which will enable others to live lives which are much better than what they have right now at this moment. She came having heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. This is a key description as far as Solomon's wisdom and fame are concerned. So she had it confirmed to her that Solomon was a wise counselor, number one, and number two, that what Solomon had was because of the Lord. Was because of the Lord. Why? Because in verse 3 it says, after Solomon answering all her questions, it says, nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. You know what does this say to us? Look at question number 3. What does the statement imply? Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. Basically, God has revealed to him the answers that he would give to others. Because it says, nothing was hidden. Who's the one who gives? Who's the one who hides? God. That's a way of saying, when it says nothing was hidden from the king, that is, it is God who revealed the answers to Solomon. That's a beautiful description about the source of his wisdom, the source of his counsel. It's not Solomon. It's not his education. Nowhere we have that Solomon was a super educated man. That is, he had a number of secular university kind of degrees from his day. Now, we're not saying he wasn't an educated man. Of course, being the son of the king of Israel, King David, he would have had a great education. But we know it was not on the basis of his prior learning that he got the ability by which he was able to give wise counsel, first to his own people in administering justice and righteousness among his people, and then to all those who heard about his wisdom, his fame. They came to Jerusalem to directly hear from him. Like a one-on-one conference, like this queen, the Queen of Sheba, had with Solomon. Because nothing was hidden from the king, since God had clearly been behind Solomon's wisdom. And he was able to explain to her everything that she needed to know about. And when, verse 4, the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was overwhelmed. She was greatly impressed. She was amazed, stunned. There was no more spirit in her. It's an interesting way of describing the impact of Solomon's wisdom on her life, on her mind, on her heart. According to verses 4 and 5, as I ask in question 4, there are two things about Solomon which made the Queen of Sheba gasp for breath. First, it was his wisdom, what he knew. Because in verse 4 it says, when the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, so the wisdom of Solomon made her gasp for breath. And number 2, his deeds, what he had achieved or done because of the wisdom that God had given him. So his wisdom and the deeds which were because of his wisdom, he had done so much. The way he had built the house, the way there was even food on his table, the seating of his servants, everything, the waiters, the things they wore, his cupbearers, the stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, everything was impressive as far as he was concerned. You know, this tells us something. Not just the wisdom by which we live our lives, which comes through the Lord, of course, but also the deeds which are because of the wisdom that we have from the Lord. Even the deeds will speak well before others when they see what we have done, of course, in the name of the Lord. Because of the name of the Lord, we go back to verse 1. So never underestimate the importance of deeds, because deeds are important. People see our deeds and they will glorify your Father who is in heaven when they see your good works done in the name of the Lord and because of the Lord. Deeds do matter. Of course, we know deeds are not the very things which save us. No, but the deeds are the evidences that yes, there is salvation. There is wisdom from the Lord because of the salvation that we have from the Lord, because of our relationship with Him. And then in verse 6, she said to the king, King Solomon, "It was true. It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me." I haven't even heard the half of what you know, the half of what you are, the wisdom that you have from God. You know, it's like someone comes to the faith and initially thinks, oh, this is what Christianity is all about. And the person starts learning from the other people of God in a given church. And then the person, as the person continues in the next maybe few short weeks or few short months, learning from the word of the Lord, the person is amazed that I didn't think that Christianity was as deep as such. But it is. But it is. Because of the wisdom that we have through the scriptures. And Solomon was wise because of his connection, his relationship with the Lord himself. And as long as he remained faithful to the Lord, his wisdom would be there. Otherwise, God is never obliged to give him ongoing wisdom. She says, "Look, King Solomon, half of the things that I had heard about you, I had heard. But I was only told the half. But now I have seen with my own eyes, I've come and seen it. Initially, I did not believe the reports." It's so impressive. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity. The report which I heard. You know, Solomon asked for wisdom, but God gave him much more. God even prospered him. We know that from 1 Kings chapter 3. And then she says this, "How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom." You know, she knows the value of sound words. She knows the value of sound wisdom. She comes to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. Not only she's blessed, she's doubly blessed, if I want to use that expression, because the blessing that she had heard about Solomon's wisdom was only, you know, maybe about half of what she now came and saw. She realized, you know what? I only knew a little part of it. Now I know the whole of it. Now I know the whole of it. And it's even a greater blessing. It's even a greater blessing. It's like us. If we were to use the analogy of the Word of God, it's one thing to hear about it, but it's another thing to dig into it day in, day out, regularly, be fed by the Word of God and be enlightened by the wisdom of God and but be built up by it. And we need that. We need that as believers. Otherwise, how else do we expect to grow in the ways of the Lord? How else? How else do we expect to help others grow, come to Christ? What are we going to say to them when we talk with them? We need to be in the Word to be strengthened by the wisdom which comes through the living and enduring Word of God. And she says, "Your men are blessed. How blessed are these servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom." They're always here. Basically, the queen's statement in verse 8 indicates that his subjects, his servants, benefited from his wisdom. They benefited all the day, regularly. Because they're standing before Solomon continually, regularly, daily. And they're hearing your wisdom. And guess what? The entire nation is being built up. Because when Solomon's servants, his own servant leaders, get blessed by the God-given wisdom of Solomon, they will take the wisdom that they have come to know and will take it to their own wives, children, relatives. They will also benefit from the same wisdom that they benefited from. It's like us. We get something from the Word of God in our study of the Word of God, and then we go and we speak with maybe a friend, a neighbor, a relative. We share it with them. They also receive at least some of the blessing that we have received out of our own personal study of the Word of God, or maybe from sermons or from Bible studies. They all eventually have a way of working out a blessing in the lives of those who come in contact with you and with your ministry. So never underestimate the importance of your own time of studying the Word, because people will be blessed as they stand before you, even as they do that continually. Just using that analogy from the way Solomon's men, his servants, did by standing continually before him and hearing his wisdom. And then in verse 9, she says, "Blessed be the Lord your God." She blessed the Lord. She blessed the Lord. "Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." To do justice and righteousness. Was not this the very thing that he asked of the Lord in chapter 3 of 1 Kings? He said, "Lord," when the Lord said, "Ask, I'm going to give you what you want." He did not want prosperity. He did not want the heads of his enemies. He wanted wisdom by which he'll be able to serve, to govern his people, the Lord's people, in righteousness and justice. And God said, "I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to give you also prosperity and peace, so that you can live a prosperous and a peaceful time." And Solomon made use of that, of course, by building his temple, the temple of the Lord, by building his own palace, and a lot of other projects he undertook for the sake of the nation of God, God's people, Israel. She blesses the Lord because she acknowledges that the Lord delights in Solomon. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful testimony from someone of whom we do not know much. But she comes and she says, "The Lord delights in you." When someone says that about you, especially someone who is not clear-cut believer, because we don't know the Queen of Sheba, what was her faith like? But when someone speaks of your faith along these lines, that is very encouraging. That is very motivating. Motivating for what? For further godliness, for further righteousness, so that you will continue on seeking the Lord to live for him. Because you know, if I continue living wisely, faithfully, humbly, sanctified before the Lord, guess what's going to happen? People are going to hear about my testimony, but my testimony is concerning the name of whom? Verse 1, the name of the Lord. Hence, they will glorify the Lord who is in heaven. It's not going to be about you. It's not going to be about me. It's going to be about the Lord. And that's what we need to keep always in our minds and hearts, that my growth in Christ, your growth in Christ, eventually will bless the name of the Lord as people see the Father working through you and through the deeds and the wisdom that God has given you to live the Christian life. They will glorify the Father who is in heaven. All may not do that, but many may do that. And we want to always direct attention, divert the attention to God. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the fame. He gets the blessing. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel. She knows it's the Lord who did this. It's the Lord. It's not your own power. Because the Lord loved Israel forever. What a testimony. Therefore, he made you king. You did not become King Solomon. He made you king. To do what? To do justice and righteousness. God placed you here so that you will do justice and righteousness. And then, verse 10, she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the Queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. Also, the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a very great number of almug trees and precious stones. The king made of the almug trees supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. Such almond trees have not come in again, nor have they been seen to this day. At the time, of course, this book was written, it was long after Solomon had gone. So what the writer of this book, 1 Kings, has in mind, that even after all the other kings have come and gone, at the time this was written, nothing had been like it was in the time of King Solomon. That speaks well for Solomon and his leadership. And then verse 13, it says, King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire which she requested, besides what he gave her according to his royal bounty. He answered her questions. That's what she had come for. She did not come for any monetary thing, like for gold, for silver, for maybe precious stones. No, she came to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. And people pay all that way she came in order to. She paid a lot, of course, because she had a lot of effort placed behind it to come all that way to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. Because she knew that Solomon might have the answers and she was not disappointed. So never, as a Christian, you know, allow yourself to be in a situation where someone comes to you, and it's not like it happens every day. Someone comes to you and you realize someone has a question. Someone may say, give your name, let's say. He gives your name or she gives your name and says, what do you think this issue is all about? For example, maybe it's an issue happening in the Middle East or happening somewhere else in the world. Capitalize on the occasion. Connect that with the Lord, His righteousness, His justice, His mercy, His grace, His judgment. Everything can be connected. Everything that happens in the world can be connected. You know, you take that Ethiopian plane that went down. Why did it happen? Well, go back to Luke chapter 13, the first five verses. People came to the Lord Jesus. Why did the Tower of Siloam fall? Why did this happen to the people who were murdered by the governor of Rome? Why did these things happen? Weren't they innocent? Were they worse than the other people who are still alive? Point them to, like Jesus did, to repentance. Repentance to the gospel. These are opportunities. Never say, well, you know what, poor people, you just failed there. That's it. That's an opportunity. If someone comes to you and says, you know, did you read about that Ethiopian plane went down? Why? Why? It doesn't make sense that you have your opportunity to testify of Christ, of the gospel, of repentance. Otherwise, we lose the window of opportunity. Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, which she requested. And also, he gave her according to his royal bounty. So he gave her physical, financial, monetary things. Also, he gave her whatever she had desired to hear. Answers of lots of questions. Solomon, I've come from far Arabia to ask you lots of questions. Are you ready? A Christian, you as a Christian, are you ready to give an answer to the hope that you have? 1 Peter 3:15. People need answers. Answers about the hope that we have. We must be ready. In season and out of season. That's not just for pastors in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We got to be ready in season and out of season. There are times when we feel like it. That's fine. We'll answer. But how about the times which are out of season? Maybe today is one of those days for you. You just don't feel like it. You just don't feel like saying anything to anyone about Christ. You just feel like staying at home, maybe because, you know, you're still licking your wounds about something that happened recently in your life, and you just don't feel like connecting with people anymore, speaking about Christ anymore. Why? Because you've been hurt. Guess what? We've all been hurt. Guess what? The Lord of glory had been hurt. He was hurt for us. But still, in season or out of season, He served so that we may receive the benefit of what it did through the cross for us. Then it says, verse 13, she turned and went to her own land together with her servants. So she went back after she had received everything that she came to inquire of the king of Israel, whose wisdom was related to the name, to the fame of the Lord of glory. And then it says, now the weight of gold which came into Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. There's nothing to make much of that. It's just the weight of it. Besides that, from the traders and the wares of the merchants and all the kings of the Arabs and the governors of the country, King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold, using 600 shekels of gold on each large shield. He made 300 shields of beaten gold, using 3 minas of gold on each shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with refined gold. There were 6 steps to the throne and a round top to the throne at its rear, and arms on each side of the seat, and 2 lions standing beside the arms. 12 lions were standing there on the 6 steps, on the one side and on the other. Nothing like it was made for any other kingdom. Again, it just describes the magnificence of Solomon's kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None was of silver. Could you imagine that? None was of silver. It was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. Guess what? If we were there at the time, we would have said to Solomon, could you ship them to Canada to us? We could still make use of silver. We can still make money out of that. But at the time, it was not considered valuable. For the king, verse 22, had at sea the ships of Tarshish with the ships of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish came bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. You see that? God fulfilled what he had said to Solomon. Solomon only asked for wisdom, but God gave him also riches. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And may this be said of us. That's basically related to question number 9. What would a church-related, you know, parallel be drawn from verse 24? That is, we should be ready. When people are in our presence, they should be able to hear of the wisdom which we have, that God had placed in our hearts. And that only comes through a faithful relationship with Christ, through an obedient relationship as far as the Word of God is concerned. You know, a Christian will never grow apart from the Word of God. Never. We make so much of the Word of God because our life source, our power comes from there. And if you don't know it, you can't obey it. That's it, period. If you don't know it, you can't obey it. The more you know it, the more you will obey it. And the more you have to obey it. Otherwise, you're just still regurgitating on foods which you've been learning all maybe through your past life. Well, guess what? If you take a piece of a pizza, you chew on it, you put the second part of it aside, it's the same slice. Then you chew a little bit more, there's still some more, but then it becomes tasteless because you already chewed on it. It becomes gross even. In the same way, we eat one slice, we go to the next slice, we go to the third slice, and that's how we keep on continuing to grow. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Again, the focus is on God. It's God. It's God. It's God. It's never of human effort. It's not something that Solomon, you know, deserved it. It's not something Solomon earned it. He asked the Lord, and the Lord gave wisdom. This is exactly what James 1 says, verses 5 to 8. If anybody needs wisdom, what must he or she do? Ask, pray, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I don't know how to walk in life in this path. Give me wisdom. Help me. The Word of God says He will. If we ask humbly, seeking His glory, He will. They brought, verse 25, every man his gift, articles of silver, gold, garments, weapons, spices, horses, mules, so much year by year. Now Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, and he stationed them in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem, and he made cedars as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the lowland. Also, Solomon's import of horses was from Egypt and Kew, and the king's merchants procured them from Kew for a price. A chariot was imported from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And by the same means, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and to the kings of the Arameans. He's so blessed that also he's involved in exporting. God's blessing does that all to Solomon and to his kingdom. Again, to sum it up, all the wisdom that Solomon had was because of his relationship, his connection with the Lord. Otherwise, Solomon is just not a man. That is the difference between the man of God and the woman of God who seeks the wisdom of God to live his or her life according to the law of God, his word, his will, his ways. And by seeking his wisdom, we are able to do that. So what do you think? Should we seek more of his wisdom? Should we pray about it? And should we seek it through his word, which we have it in our hands? The entirety of God's wisdom is there so that we may capitalize on every truth, on every principle, on every precept, on every piece of knowledge that would tell us more about God and how to become more like God by living God for God and by obeying God. That's our calling as Christians. May we do that. May we increase in our wisdom, in our relationship with Christ, in our knowledge of the Word, and may we be able to become a testimony to those around us who, like the Queen of Sheba, will come and say, "Now I know the wisdom that God has given you, a wisdom which frees, a wisdom which liberates, a wisdom which truly helps me. And my heart is satisfied, and I'm elated knowing that the God of all the universe has given you the answers for life and godliness, and people are desperate. And when we have those who are desperate come to us, we should not just, you know, push them away that I don't have the time, I don't feel like it, in season and out of season." That's how we do it. It's not about, "Well, you know what, I don't feel like it today, I'm not going to be preaching." It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work for any Christian that way. Why? Because people's souls are at stake and our testimonies matter. The sharing of the words of the Word of God matter as we proclaim to them the gospel, one verse at a time, one chapter at a time, one thought at a time, one concept at a time. But you know what? Capitalize on major news headlines. Speak the gospel through these things because people need answers. And who else has the answers but a Christian, right? We believe we have everything we need for life and godliness. We have the answers. We know what's going to happen in the future. Tomorrow's newspaper, not just tomorrow's. The newspaper, which is maybe 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now, we know it. That is, all I'm saying is we know how it ends. And it ends good for those who are Christ's. And that's the message that we have to give people. That it's not hopeless. It's not bleak. The future is full of hope because of who Christ is and what he can give to those who submit the knee before him. So be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Share what the wisdom the Lord has given you. Share that wisdom with others. And that wisdom is the wisdom of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation of everyone who believes. That's our good news. That's the hope we need to relay. That's the wisdom we need to impart to people who seek. So let's not give up in our endeavor, in our Christian endeavor of serving the Lord. And we'll see more today about why we should serve the Lord, why it is important to serve the Lord. And as we do that, God will bless us more and make us a greater testimony for his glory. Amen.